Take your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Psalms. I do love a worship time where you could give an invitation and feel like you've gone to church. But then I would get to preach, and that would make me very happy. So I want to give to you what I feel like God has given to me this week. I'll talk to you today about being sensitive to the voice of God. I do believe that our God still speaks. Now, maybe not in the audible sense, as we have read in the Scriptures for many years, not in the sense that He spoke to Adam, where the Bible says that He spoke in such a way that Adam and Eve could hear the voice of God walking through the garden. Now, I thought there were a couple times growing up that I had heard the voice of my dad walking through the hallway. But to hear the voice of God, you ever wonder what God's voice sounded like? I have to believe it probably wouldn't be a wimpy southern voice like mine. When I think of the voice of God, I think more of a James Earl Jones type of voice. A voice that just rumbles at you. A voice that proclaims authority and demands respect. That kind of voice. And can you imagine Adam and Eve hearing the voice of God walking through the garden? Can you imagine Abraham being called from his country by the voice of God in Genesis chapter 12? Can you hear the voice of God coming to Noah as he laid out a blueprint for an ark that would save he and his family and two of every kind of animal, that would save them from the utter destruction of the flood? Can you hear the voice of God going to Moses and crying out to this wandering servant after 40 years being on the backside of a desert, the voice of God crying out from a bush that was on fire? Can you hear it? Can you hear the voice of God that came to Joshua and said, "Joshua, be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Can you hear His voice? Or maybe the voice of God that came to prophets like Elijah and Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, or maybe even the voice of God that cried out to a young teenager that would be a great man of God who would anoint even King David. The voice of God that night called out to Samuel, to which Samuel said, "Here am I." I wonder what the voice of God sounded like when God came to Mary through His angel, and Joseph through His angel. I wonder what the voice of God sounded like on the Mount Transfiguration with Jesus in that inner circle when God Himself said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Or even when God stopped Saul of Tarsus dead in his tracks. We read in the Scriptures where God spoke to His people. But do you understand today that not in an audible sense, but God still speaks? God still speaks. And today I want to ask you the question, are you hearing the voice of God? What voices do you have going through your head right now? Is it the voice of truth, the voice of the Word of God, the voice of the Spirit of God? Is it the voice of God Himself? Or maybe you have rattling your mind right now the voice of reason, See, I believe there are too many right now that even fill our churches and that we minister to and we try to witness to and bring to Christ through His saving power of His grace. And yet they are at a point where they've listened to human reason so long that they're trying to figure Jesus out before they accept Him as Lord. And let me tell you something, folks. You will never fully figure Jesus out. You don't believe when you understand. You believe so that you can understand. And yet some of us may have the voice of human reason. Maybe it's the voice of a carnal culture where we've listened to Oprah and Dr. Phil and even Rush Limbaugh enough that we've got worldly thoughts in our mind and worldly political views and a worldly stance on some moral issues, and we've allowed this carnal culture to speak into our life. We hear the voice of the carnal culture. Maybe it's the voice of your flesh. Your flesh does desire certain things, doesn't it? We would all be ignorant not to admit that. John simply put it this way: He that saith he hath no sin is a liar, and the truth is not in him. We have that voice in our mind, that pull of the flesh. Yet I ask you, do you hear the voice of God? I believe in our passage, Psalm 81, it's one of a handful of psalms right here together that Asaph wrote. Beginning in Psalm 78, Asaph wrote these psalms in reflection of the history of Israel. And we find ourselves here in Psalm 81. He begins the psalm, and we won't read all of the beginning of it so that we can get to our direct text. But he begins the psalm by saying, "Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob." We see that the psalmist Asaph begins this psalm by saying that we need to be a people of worship because we have so much to worship God about. When we worship and sing, I do believe that singing is a biblical and godly portion of worship. I believe that when we come together and lift up our voice, I believe it honors God because God throughout the Scripture commands us to sing aloud unto our God. He begins this psalm of worship. He gives us in these first few verses reasons why we should worship. He even talks about certain instruments that we could use to bring an orchestra to God that would be pleasing to His sight. Then we find in Psalm 81 verse 8, we find our text. God says through His servant Asaph, He says to His people, "Hear, O my people. Hear, O my people. And I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me." He said, "Israel, I'll speak to you if you'll listen. I'll speak to you if you'll listen." Every one of us understand the struggle sometimes of hearing the voice of God and knowing exactly what God wants us to do. If you're anything like me, I desire to live every day of my life inside the perfect center of God's will. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. The perfect center of God's will. Do I always do that? No, but that is my heart's desire. I strive to make the decisions that God would have me to make. I strive to think on those things that God would have me to think on. I strive to say and to do those things which God would have me to say and do. And many times in my heart I have such a hunger to hear the voice of God. And God here says, if you will listen, I'll speak to you. If you will turn your ear to me, hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall no strange gods be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange gods. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth. He says, pray to me and I will meet your needs. I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my place. I want to preach a message this morning simply entitled, Are You Listening? Will you pray with me one more time as we ask God's blessing on the reading? Father, we ask you to now speak through our hearts. We ask you to do a work in us that only you can do. We need your touch. We need your help. We need you to remove all distractions so that our minds can be focused on the Word of God. Speak to us today. We pray in Jesus' name. There's four principles from this passage, four powerful truths that I do believe God would have us to see this morning. First of all, notice truth number one, God still is calling. God is still calling. The voice of God is still speaking. See, the Lord constantly speaks to us. The Lord is constantly giving us direction. It's never the Lord who's not speaking. It's only us who are not listening. Can I say that again? It is never the Lord who is not speaking. It is only you and me that is not listening. Here he tells his people, he says, by calling them, hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. Now, as we said earlier, God does not speak to us or move audibly. That would be too easy now. But when Jesus Christ died on that old rugged cross, and when Jesus Christ was placed in that borrowed tomb, and when Jesus Christ 3 days later rose victoriously over death, hell, and the grave, and then when Jesus Christ ascended to the Father, He sent to us a comforter. And today God still speaks. He speaks through His Word. He speaks through His Spirit. And I still believe He speaks through godly counsel. But God still speaks. He's still calling. What Charles Spurgeon said is, the problem is we are so insensible that we have become deaf to God. We have hearing loss to the Spirit. We have no more earnest to hear what God has to say. In fact, he said, we have become quite careless in our listening. Everything in our life is too busy. Everything in our life is so loud, and yet we cannot hear, or we simply will not hear, the words of God. But God is calling. Two things about God's call I want you to see in this passage. Number one, I want you to see the desire that God has to be heard. The desire. He said, hear, O my people, I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. He said in verse number 13, he said, oh, that my people had hearkened. There is a desire from God to be heard. Now, can I ask you a question? Good, I think I will. When you talk, do you like for people to listen? Some of you think I'm incriminating you because then you're going to think that I want you to listen when I talk. Every one of us want people to listen when we talk. You ever told somebody, I feel like I'm talking to a brick wall? Point at them. You know? They did in the first service. You might as well point at them at the second service. Feel like I'm talking to a brick wall. I can't tell you the times where Christy and I would be having a conversation in the living room, and I'd be sitting in my lazy chair, and she'd be over at the couch doing something, reading or doing something, and the kids would be upstairs playing, and she'd want to catch up with me. It's been a long day, and my brain is like a raw egg now, and I'm just ready to just kind of sit down and do nothing but watch a little football or something, and she wants to talk, Brother Bill, and she'll say, well, let me tell you about my day, and I'm like, uh-huh. She's saying, this is what the kids did, and I'd be like, uh-huh. Then all of a sudden, something good happened on the TV, and I'd be like, oh. And then after about a minute, she goes, are you listening to me? And every one of us at that point start lying. I know you're the same way. Are you listening to me? Well, of course I was listening to you. You look guilty. You look bad guilty. Of course I was listening. And then she'd say this. What's the last thing I said? You might as well go ahead and beat me with a tobacco stick, you know? When God talks, when God speaks, He desires for us to listen. He said, hear. Oh, my people, hear. Hear the voice of the Lord. He said, hear, oh, my people, and I will testify. I will conversate. I will talk. I will speak to you if you'll listen. But not only does this passage show us in verse 8 that he deserves, or desires rather, to be heard, but verse number 10 tells me he deserves to be heard. Verse 10 says, I am the Lord thy God. Which, by the way, he could have put a period right there, and that's all we need. He deserves to be heard because he's God. It blows me away that he even desires to be heard. I mean, I remember the first time that I saw Michael Jordan. I was a kid. I went to the Michael Jordan Golf Classic. It was in Greenville, North Carolina. I just wanted to get like close enough where I could like just smell his body odor or something. I didn't care. I just wanted to see him. And I knew I probably wouldn't get an autograph, and that's all right, but I just wanted to see him, and I saw him. And there he was, riding in a golf cart. I was as far as here from Benny to him, and I could hear him talking in the golf cart, and I could just, he was sweating. I remember that. I don't know why. I could hear him talking. I was like, that's Michael Jordan. That's Michael Jordan. Greatest basketball player to ever live. 6'6", 198 pounds. Chicago Bulls, Tar Heel, represent Tar Heel. That's Michael Jordan. I remember when he was signing autographs, and I was way in the back, and I was like, 3 feet tall, so there was no way I was getting one. And he was signing autographs, and he was signing them like this. Yeah, okay. He wasn't even looking at the people who were signing them. Why? He ain't got time for you. He don't have time for me. I remember the first time I saw Tiger Woods. Several years ago, I went to the U.S. Open at Pinehurst and went to a couple of the practice rounds, and probably from me to Brother Jay Woodard, there was Tiger. He's big, muscular. He looked a lot like me. Anyway, here he goes. He's walking. I'm like, that's Tiger Woods. I saw him, like a couple of the kids like, Tiger, you're the man. You're my hero, blah, blah, blah. And he's Tiger Woods. He ain't got time for you. He ain't got time for me. I remember going to one of these God and Country banquets years ago, and some of these elected officials, they've kind of climbed the ladder politically, and now they're congressmen and different things, and they happen to be at this one, and people were shaking their hand. And you can just tell when somebody is shaking your hand and they really want to talk to you, or they're shaking your hand, you're like, get out of my way, And I thought to myself, they don't want to talk to me. Listen, I understand that too. I understand why Michael Jordan wouldn't want to talk to me, or why Tiger Woods wouldn't have time for me, or why a congressman that's kind of made his living and climbed the ladder wouldn't want to talk to me. But what I don't understand is that there's a God in heaven that does want to talk to me. He desires to talk to me. And yet he deserves to be heard of me, because number one, he's God. But then notice what God did. Look down to verse number 10 again. He said, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Can I tell you today that God not only desires to be heard, but God deserves to be heard because He's God and He brought you out of Egypt. Not only is He your sovereign God, but He is your sovereign deliverer. Not only is He God, but He's grace. Not only is He sovereign, but He's Savior. And the Bible says that God is still calling and He desires to be heard. But I'm telling you, He still deserves to be heard. Truth number one, God's still calling. Truth number two, God's still commanding. See, we want to hear the voice of God, and we do acknowledge this morning that God is still speaking. The question is, what's He saying? I believe God has a lot to say. You ever just had a lot on your mind? And with a lot on your mind, you can't get it all in? Well, I'm telling you, can you imagine the mind of God and how much God wants to speak to us? God wants to speak to us. What will God say? Well, He'll say His word. God will command. Here He says in verse number 9, He says, there shall no strange God be in thee. That's what God said. There shall be no strange God that will be in thee. Neither shalt thou worship any strange God. It's a command. One man said, we see in this passage a compassionate father calling the child. We see a jealous sovereign laying down his law. And we see a sufficient friend challenging their confidence because he's God. There's a command here. I was reading on Friday and this startled me. I've been reading in Gods at War, which is a book that we're starting tonight, and I want to encourage all of you to be back. If you're not in Truth Project, come back here for our auditorium service. We're starting a study through a book called Gods at War. And I'm telling you, one of the great problems in America today, and we don't want to admit it, and one of the great problems in the church today is idolatry. And this is what this man said. He said in verse 9, he said, man is so desperate an idolater that the image is always a strong temptation. While the nest are there, the birds will eager return to it. No other God has done anything for you like God. Not the world, not the flesh, and not the devil. None of these have been any service to us. They are aliens, they are foreigners, and they are enemies, and yet we have to fight. Not bowing down to them. An idolater. And what is God saying? He was commanding here that there should be no strange gods before them. He commanded that all the way back in the book of Exodus to have no other gods before them, not to make up any graven image. And God, yes, is still speaking. And yes, God desires to be heard and God deserves to be heard, but God has something to say. And this is what God has to say. I am to be priority in your life. You want to know what God's saying to every one of us here today, without question and without exception, that I am to be first place. And not first place in the sense that there's a close second. It's not like God's first place and my wife is second place. Or God's first place and my kids are second place. Or God's first place and my work is second place. God does not want to be first of many. God wants to be first and only. First and only. We seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We make God a priority. And that is what God is saying. We see God's command. But thirdly and sadly, we see God's condemnation. We see God's condemnation. The Bible says that He was calling in verse 8. We see that He was commanding in verse 9. Then we see He had to condemn in verse number 11. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust. You say, what was the reason of their condemnation? They wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen. It's like somebody asking the question, if a tree falls in the woods and nobody is there to hear it, does it make a sound? I have no idea. Scientifically, I would have to say yes, and scientifically, I would have to say no. But here's another question. If God from heaven is speaking to His children on earth, and they are not listening, what is God to do? He's to do what He has to do because He's just. He has to judge and condemn. See, learning to clearly distinguish God's voice is invaluable. Instead of going through life blindly, God gives us opportunity to hear Him, to gain wisdom, to gain guidance and protection. And yet, Christians are way too busy to hear the pleading voice of an almighty God. Thus, God has to judge. The Bible says in verse 12, so I gave them up to their own heart's lust. Go to Proverbs chapter 1, if you will, quickly. Through the years, we have read this passage. Verse 20 says, wisdom crieth out. Wisdom can be used as an analogy of a number of things, but I think in this context, it's best used as the voice of God. The voice of God cries out. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief places of the concourse, in the openings of the gates in the city. She utters her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And ye scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. And here's the call of God. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called and ye have refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set it not all of my counsel. You would none of my reproof. And God said, because of that, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When fear cometh as desolation, and destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then, oh sure, then you'll come back to God. But God said, I will not hear thee or answer thee. You will seek me early, but you will not find me. Why? Because you hated knowledge. You did not choose to fear the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. You say, man, God is a mean God. Please hear me. God is not a mean God. God is a gracious God that must be just. And when you and when I do not listen to God, God has to judge us according to His holy standard. And yet it is sobering to think of how God judged them. See, the reasons God judged them was because they didn't listen. But how? What was the reality of this judgment, this condemnation? He says that He gave them up to their own lust. See, if God wants to judge us, all He has to do is turn us over to our own sinful cravings. That's all God has to do. So gave them up to their own lust. And they walked in their own counsels. God condemned. But finally this morning, I want you to see not only God's calling and God's command, not only God's condemnation, but I want you to see God's contrition. God's contrition. See, this is where I can prove to you that God is a holy and yet gracious God. Because I believed condemning them broke the heart of God. You understand what Peter said in his epistle when he said that God is not slack concerning His promises as men count slackness, but the Lord is not willing that any should perish. This is what it means. God's desire is for no one to perish. Which means God's desire is for them to be saved. And it has to hurt the heart of God when people go to hell when they had opportunity to go to heaven. And it has to equally break the heart of God when God is trying to speak to His people. But they will not listen. Verse 13 says this. It kind of reveals God's contrition. He said, "Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me. Oh, that Israel had walked in my ways." He says, "I should have soon subdued their enemies and turned this hand that now I have to turn against them. I should have turned against their adversaries. I have to turn it against them now." Can you hear the heart-wrenching pain of God? God's contrite. He hates what He sees. God's still calling. God's still commanding. God will have to condemn if we do not listen, and God, if He does, we fill with contrition. You say, "All right, that's a cute outline for your passage. Give me the message." All right, here it is. How do I make sure that I put myself in a position where I can hear God? Because all of us agree from the passage, all these things were not only true for Israel, they're true for us. And God will have to judge me if I'm not listening. So how do I make sure that I can hear? How do I make sure that I stay sensitive to the voice of God? Let me give you a few things. Three hindrances to hearing the voice of God. Number one, a person cannot hear the voice of God when they are not God's people. You will not be able to hear the sustaining and the guiding and the directing and sovereign voice of God until you become one of God's people. John chapter 10. The Bible says in John 10 that my sheep, they know my voice. See, the day I got saved, the Holy Spirit of God did some incredibly radical things in my life. But one of those things was He opened my mind and my ears and my heart and my eyes to the things He's been trying to tell me. And I'm telling you today, some of you are trying to hear God and yet you've never taken the first step. You've never truly been born again. You'll never hear God until you're in the fold. And until you're in the fold, John chapter 10 says, by way of the door too, which is Jesus Christ. You'll never hear God until, number one, you become His. Number two, you will never hear God until, secondly, you remove all the blockages. Until you remove the blockages. Now, I believe there's three blockages. I believe there's the blockage that's on purpose. I believe there's the blockage that's by accident. And I believe there's the blockage that's there simply because of neglect. The blockage on purpose. Earplugs. Fingers in your ear. It was just a couple weeks ago I heard Mackenzie barking orders to my 5-year-old Caden, who thinks she's the queen bee of the planet. So I go upstairs because I can tell that it's not going very well, and I walk around the corner and I go in the doorway of the girl's room, and there's Kenzie barking orders and there's Caden just like this. I'm not listening. Sometimes we put earplugs or our fingers in our ears when we don't want to listen. God tells us something we don't want to hear. I can't tell you the amount of time people come in to get counsel from me, and what they should have done, they should have come with a signed disclaimer. I don't want godly counsel. I want you to tell me what I want to hear. And as soon as I tell them what they don't want to hear, you know what they do? And mostly they go, they're not listening. See, some of you can't hear God this morning because you put earplugs in. And you've blocked it up on purpose. Secondly, some of you blocked it up by accident. You say, what does that mean? I remember the time that I had to go to the doctor and them pick a nickel out of my ear. Because it felt pretty cool sticking it in there, like, hey, look at there, until I got it in there and I couldn't get it out. I remember thought I was going to have to go to the doctor because Matthew had stuck like a little army man in his ear. Now, don't think my son has real big ears either. He doesn't, but he's a small army man, but that thing was in there. I had to get it out with some tweezers. I was like, man, if this is the last try. Of course, I also remember when I had to get a marble out of his nose too. But anyway, sometimes you live life and sometimes you don't even know that you're putting a blockage in the spirit canal, the ear canal, as it were, of the heart. And accidentally, you get playing with something and it blocks your ability to hear God. You understand what I'm saying? And then sometimes it comes from just plain old neglect. Earwax. Earwax. Now, I know this is a personal question, and if you don't feel comfortable enough to respond, that's okay. But how many of you here this morning enjoy cleaning your ears? Can I see a show of hands? God bless you. I love cleaning my ears. I'm telling you, I got the cleanest ears in Craven County. I can hear things in Lenore County. Clean. Listen, it's something when your doctor comments on how clean your ears are. So he went, you got clean ears. Thank you, Doc. I work very hard on those. I enjoy cleaning ears so good. It's like, you know, when you scratch the back of a dog and you get that good spot and that hind leg starts going. Sometimes it's like, that's like, woohoo, that's good. I enjoy it. But I have to remind my kids to clean their ears. So have you cleaned your ears? They'll come out, I'm ready for bed. You clean your ears? All right, I'm ready for bed. Have you brushed your teeth? I'm ready for bed. Did you take a bath? Like, really? Can you not get anything right? And sometimes you go, it's like, okay, come here. I'll clean them for you. And you're like, whoa, what is it? Can you hear anything I'm saying? Because of the buildup. And please hear me. Some of you spiritually, you've gotten some buildup over time where you right now, you cannot hear the voice of God. Because you haven't had a good cleaning in a while. Does that make sense? See, if you want to hear the voice of God, number one, you got to become His. Number two, you got to remove the blockages. And then number three, you've got to have a heart that cries out to God. Instead of it being God saying, "Hear, O my people, and I will testify," it should have said, "Oh God, we are your people. Speak to us." That's what it should have been. It should have been the cry of their heart. It should have been the ache of their spirit. It should have been the desire of their soul to hear from God. And this is what I know. When you're ready to hear God, He's ready to speak to you. Are you hearing the voice of God? Are you hearing Him call today? God is still speaking. Are you listening? Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. This first question is for the Christian. The one that has come through the door, the one that is part of the fold. You're here and you say, Brother Scott, I'm a Christian, I know I'm saved, I know I'm on my way to heaven. But I don't want to live another day not being sensitive to the voice of God. I'm a Christian. I know I'm saved. Jesus is my Savior and my Lord. But I want to live every day from here till eternity being sensitive to the voice of God. If that's your heart's desire and you're a believer, would you lift your hand if God spoke to your heart? Just lift it up right now. Just keep it. God, I want to be sensitive to your voice. This is what I want to ask you to do right now. I want you to get up from where you are, and I want you to gather around this altar right now with these who have already stepped out to come to say, God, I dedicate the rest of my days to being sensitive to your voice. I'm listening. I'm listening. Lord, whatever you want to say to me, whatever direction, Lord, you want to lead me, God, I'm listening. I hear you. I'm not going to make that decision, Lord, until I hear your voice. I'm not going to make that change until I'm urged by your Spirit, Lord. Speak to me. Help me to be sensitive to your voice. Last question. Then Matt's going to sing one stanza and we're going to dismiss. You're here today and you'd say, Preacher, I'm not saved. If I were to die in my sin right now, I would die unprepared. Please pray for me. Listen, I'm not going to embarrass you this morning, but I desire to pray. Would you lift your hand, Preacher, pray for me. I just don't know if I'm ready to meet God. Just lift it up. Put it down. I see that hand. Anybody else? If you're not kneeling at this altar, I want you to stand to your feet with your head bowed and eyes closed, being reverent. Matt's going to sing one stanza of invitation. And then we're going to dismiss together in prayer. You come as God speaks.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is called.
Church, sometimes we just need to prevail in prayer until we get tuned back in to God. The Holy Spirit has a great way of revealing those areas in our life that have hindered us from hearing from God. Ask the Lord to help you remove them today. Do what this song says. Just come home. You need to come today and be saved. I'll meet you right here. You come on home. Father, we commit these decisions to you. We pray that you'll make us more sensitive to your voice.